Welcome to this podcast from Control Risks, the specialist global risk consultancy. Our maritime analysts have recorded a spike in hijack attacks on ships in the Gulf of Guinea in recent months, including a move west and possibly south from the traditional hotspots off the coast of Nigeria. So what do maritime operators need to do to mitigate the threat? With me to discuss this is Cormac McGarry, lead maritime analyst here at Control Risks, and Sebastian Bowe, our special risks analyst for Africa. Starting with you, Cormac, what activity have you been tracking in the Gulf of Guinea? Okay, so Cormac, your team has been seeing a lot of activity in the Gulf of Guinea recently. What exactly has been happening?
Yeah, in February of 2018, this year, we recorded the most incidents offshore in the Gulf of Guinea than we've ever recorded for that month in any year in the past decade. And generally, the last 6 to 7, 8 months and the second half of 2017 was the most violent period in the Gulf of Guinea that we've ever recorded for the second half of a year. Where that translates to in the actual context of the Gulf of Guinea, just so we all understand what it is, it's generally regarded as the highest risk waters in the world. We have a large number of kidnap for ransom attacks that happen offshore of the Niger Delta. We have a lot of theft and armed robbery occurring, particularly around Lagos. And most of this comes from Nigerian pirate groups. What we've seen really, really worryingly this year is a return to hijack cases in the Gulf of Guinea. And we've seen this since January of this year. That has kind of been absent from the Gulf of Guinea since 2014. And the reason is oil prices declined. However, oil prices have gone back up in the last 6 months. So we've seen more value being attributed to hijacking vessels for their cargo by pirate groups in the Gulf of Guinea. So what we've seen since January, we've seen two successful hijack attacks off Benin, at least two attempted hijacks, and a possible attempted hijack as far west as Ghana. And this is certainly a rising trend in the Gulf of Guinea for the last month. We expect to see some more of it. But I'd like to reiterate that this is a new and emerging threat. It's not entirely replacing the existing kidnap threat that we've always seen off the Niger Delta in particular.
Okay, if I could turn to you now, Sebastian, what actually happens typically when a vessel has been attacked or a crew kidnapped from a vessel?
The Special Risks Analysis team here at Control Risks tracks kidnap and extortive crime around the world, and we've been following the maritime kidnap environment in the Gulf of Guinea for several years. And our insight is essentially that the experience of the victim after the kidnap from the vessel depends on a few factors, but most importantly, their origin, their national origin, their background, etc. So that raises the question, once on board the vessel, how do the kidnappers choose their victims? Obviously, given the choice between a range of victims, kidnappers both offshore and onshore in Nigeria will usually target foreign nationals over locals. For instance, hypothetically, in the event of a mixed crew, because foreign nationals will usually fetch a greater ransom value or are assumed to fetch a greater ransom value. And that's because kidnappers presume that individual foreigners probably have a higher personal wealth than the local average, or have families of greater means than the local average, or that their employers will be willing to pay a ransom for their release. But actually, regardless of the nationality of the victim, there's always an expectation that the employer could pay for a ransom if the abduction occurs while the victims are at work on a vessel.
So once the victims have been selected, what typically happens?
So during a successful maritime kidnap, the kidnappers will load a small number of the crew. It's rarely the full crew because of the size of crews aboard larger vessels offshore, but usually between 2 and 6 individuals, and they'll load them generally onto the small boats, the skiffs that they've used to approach the ship, the target ship, and then they'll transport them back to camps onshore. Generally, in the Nigerian context, these are based in the creeks of the Niger Delta, specifically in Bayelsa, Delta, and River states. And they're quite hard to find, generally quite secure in terms of, for the kidnappers, in terms of holding captives. So the victims are held in these camps while the kidnappers then engage in negotiation for the payment of a ransom. Generally, what we see is that cases involving crews of local Nigerian workers don't last as long as those with foreign victims. And locals tend to be released for smaller payments. Kidnappers tend to hold out longer for foreign victims and try to get a higher payment, which is why negotiations can be intractable and stretch, you know, well over a month in certain occasions.
Of course, the higher profile piracy situation was off the coast of Somalia in recent years. This is a very different kind of process we're seeing in the Gulf of Guinea, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So it's important to distinguish between the type of hijacking and maritime abduction that we are currently seeing in the Gulf of Guinea context and that which occurred off the coast of Somalia 7, 8, 9 years ago, which is more sort of widely understood by the public, I think. In Somalia, we saw whole vessels and their entire crews that were taken by armed pirates and kept anchored close to shore or on shore, sometimes for years, while a negotiation was undertaken. In the Gulf of Guinea, it's a little bit different. The focus has generally been on taking individual crew members back to shore or small groups of crew members back to shore and holding them captive there. So, in other words, in these incidents in the Gulf of Guinea, kidnapping of the crew members themselves is just another way to monetize an attack on a ship, alongside robbery of the cargo or robbery of the crew's possessions or any other valuables on board. Kidnap for ransom is not necessarily always the driving motivation behind the initial attack. The calculation, of course, being that if these gangs were so intent on kidnapping someone, they could just do it on shore for much less risk to themselves and obviously at a lesser expense.
So, Cormac, what do we expect to see for the rest of 2018?
Yeah, I think moving on from what Sebastian was just saying, we will definitely continue to see that traditional kind of kidnap for ransom model continuing to occur off the Niger Delta in particular. We don't see it easing up. We will see more of that kind of activity then in the second 6 months of the year. And that's traditionally based on weather patterns offshore that make the behavior of pirate groups and the behavior of even vessels that are attacked a bit more predictable. Particularly in the second half of the year off the Gulf of Guinea, you tend to see the Harmattan season, which blows Saharan sands across the airways. And this reduces visibility and essentially makes pirate operations much easier. The biggest point I'd like to make is that we will continue to see this kidnap for ransom trend off the Delta in particular, but now for the rest of 2018, we also expect to see this hijack for cargo kind of attacks happening beyond Nigerian waters. So as we've seen them occurring in Benin for the last 2 months, we expect that Benin will, and probably already is, increasing its security arrangements and that these pirate groups will move further west, as far as Ghana and possibly Cote d'Ivoire, or even south, as far south as Angola. And indeed, they have that capability. We've seen them in years past move that far from Nigerian waters. And what I would suggest to anyone worried about these risks is to basically take a very robust attitude towards your risk assessments moving vessels or crew into these waters. Treat them as a very high risk area. Conduct threat assessments for the vessels, crew briefings so the crew know what's happening, and probably most importantly, harden your vessels up so that in the event of an attack, you can as effectively as possible dissuade the attackers. And indeed, any cases we've seen where pirates have failed to get on board the vessel, it's because of hardening and protective measures on vessels. And of course, working in close cooperation with regional security forces.
Okay, thanks for that, Cormac. We'll leave it there for the moment. And thanks also to Sebastian Bowe, Special Risks Analyst for Africa here at Control Risks. And thank you for listening. Bye for now.